You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Are you that person who has everything? The coolest merch and those must-have fan threads? Well, over at our Anfield Index shop, we've gone that extra mile when it comes to pimping up your Liverpool collection. From our popular range of bespoke design t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies and hats, to our signature edition mugs, prints and coasters, all provided with fast worldwide shipping. We have something for every red. We also stock official LFC merchandise and are licensed with the Premier League and UEFA to sell official iron-on shirt badges and sleeve patches. As a listener to this podcast, you can get 10% off everything with coupon code AIPRO10. Just head over to anfieldindex.shop or find us on Etsy by searching for Anfield Index.
Podcasting to you from a sweltering version of beautiful rural Ireland, I'm Trev Denny, and this is the Anfield Index podcast, on which I'm joined tonight by my usual compatriots, compadres, amigos, I'm running out of words here, Carl Kopak and Cam Branch. In the background and not contributing on the mic this evening is producer Guy Drinkle. And I want to begin today's show with a very simple, very from the heart little tribute, which is just a sequence from a show which features Michael K. Williams, who passed only yesterday. He played Omar in The Wire, and there before will be known to an awful lot of people, and he was a tremendous actor indeed. If you have any doubts about that, go and read the tributes of the equally great Wendell Pierce to him today.
Stunning.
Both written and from years back, a lovely video which I posted onto my Twitter thread if you want to go and have a look at that, where he talks about how Michael was capable of imbuing, I think, ordinary characters, as Wendell says, that people wouldn't even look at, with humanity that they're not normally attributed with on television and in film. It's a lovely tribute, and what I wanted to do was just have a little piece today to get the show going between Wendell and Michael, between the characters of Bunk and Omar. And we've got Omar here. He's in a tight spot. He's basically looking at being stuck into the confinement of prison with several of the drug dealers who he basically made his living robbing in the heyday of his existence as Omar. Omar is coming. So we've just got a little interaction between the two. It's about a minute or so, and it finishes with a well-known Omar line. And listen, if you would, to the bass coming from Wendell's voice here. That is a voice you're about to hear here. But also, the payoff line is Omar's final one. So here it is, without any further ado.
What about Stringer Bell and his muscle dead in the warehouse? If this one ain't on you, another dozen probably are. And if this one goes to court, you can tell that jury how wrong it is.
I'll be seeing God long before
Well, I swear to him I'm staying. You leave me a court sign, I'm done. You know that.
Yeah? So you ain't making friends?
I got a bounty on my head, man. 5 figures. I'd have known I was gonna be sharing quarters with all these boys. I probably wouldn't have robbed so many of them.
Oh, yeah. That golden rule.
Since you're feeling all biblical and righteous and all, you think on this. Now, if Omar ain't killed that delivery lady, somebody else did. But you giving him a free walk right now, though, ain't you? A man got to have a code.
Man got to have a code. Carl Kalpak, how are you and your code this evening?
I don't know if that's the same scene. I don't get it's the same scene, but there's it's an extraordinary thing that I see between those two at some point where Omar realizes that they were at school together, him and Bunk, and Bunk was a few years ahead, and he says, "You used to play that game with the stick," and he goes, "Yeah, man, I was lacrosse, I was all state across attack or something like that." And says, yeah, they used to shit themselves when they saw that bunk come across at them. It's a really nice scene between enemies. Well, basically, they just sort of really like link together on that. You know, they're almost like there's a respect between the two of them, even though, you know, they're completely different people.
That's what that show does. That's what that show does so well, isn't it, Carl? I mean, you get to see that the gray, the shades of gray, the blurring of the lines. That's what's so brilliant about that show.
Yeah, it's literally impeccable. It is literally impeccable. It's that good. I've got a couple of quotes, if that's okay for because they're from quite similar people in some ways. And it's this: something I like to do is just sit by water when there's a current and just stare into the water. I don't fish. I don't hunt. I don't scuba. I don't spear. Don't boat. Don't play basketball or football. I excel at staring into space. I'm really good at that. And that's the opening quote. And okay. The follow-up one I have to that is someone different. Although they're probably contemporaries. They probably knew each other. You can't be a real country unless you have a beer and an airline. It helps if you've got some kind of football team or some nuclear weapons. But at the very least, you need a beer.
Oh, I'm in the dark completely, Cam. Have you any idea who were...
Not a clue. I would never have a clue. Most figures two short planks, mate.
You're not going to get this in a million years. The first one was Iggy Pop, staring at the water, and the second one was Frank Zappa.
Wow.
But at the very least, you need a beer. I really like that.
I don't know why. That quote just made me think of the Netherlands. I thought, yeah, they got a beer, Heineken, and they got an airline, KLM. Sorted, job's done.
You call Heineken a beer, but yeah, that's right. I see your
point. Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's a lager then, all right, you know.
So. And the reason I say that is that I really have been contemplating just staring into water lately and just thinking, that's nice. And I've been doing that because I've been doing a bit of paddleboarding. And so twice on Sunday, I was actually in the water that I was paddleboarding on. And
what, upside nice. Down?
Thanks again?
Upside down?
I would have been at some point possible. No, I didn't go upside down. No, it wasn't deep enough for me to do that. But I was certainly heading that. My trajectory would have sent me that way eventually had gravity not intervened.
Where were you doing said activity?
The River Wensum in Norwich.
And can I ask you, did you do the stand-up paddleboarding or what
yes
did you do?
Yes and no. it was because of the standing up biz that I went in twice.
Oh, I see.
Right.
And
did you then turn it into a virtual kayak?
Yes, that's what I did. I sat down. If you see my Twitter feed, I'm sitting on the board paddling. Because I thought, well, my anxiety is quite bad at the best of times anyway. So I did actually stand up. I did stand up, but then I just went straight over because the problem is you can't, once you've stood up, you can't really move your feet.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. You pitch forward automatically, and that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah,
and I saw two people doing it just literally this afternoon as I went out. I saw two people, because I'm quite close to the river. And I saw two people going, I just kept thinking, how are you not, you know, just basically your arms going like Pete Townsend playing a guitar, you know? Why is that not happening? Because that's what I did.
Did you do the full comedy arm spinning thing? Yeah.
I think it was a full on might go, won't go, might go, might. Oh, you know what I'm going. Yeah. Girlfriend, of course. Girlfriend, absolutely no problem at all.
Yeah.
On the knees, one foot up, stood up, let's go. Absolutely infuriating.
That's got to hurt because, I mean, it's not like you don't have training and centering yourself physically with all the Taekwondo stuff.
There's something in Taekwondo called Anamsoji, which is sitting stance, which is the perfect most place to be. Basically sit with your stand with your legs apart like you're sitting on a horse that isn't there. And you put your arms out in front of you, and it's the perfect balance you can do. And if you can do that, literally, if you do that, if you can play golf, it's a very similar stance.
A horse that isn't there is one of the best images I think we can expect to have this evening. Can I recommend to you that you actually get a proper kayak in which you sit into it properly, and therefore all the angst of standing and all that bollocks is taken away from it? It is one of the most contemplative and wonderful pastimes that I've ever engaged in. I was saying to you just before the mics went live, so much so that I'm going to get myself one and go around as often as I can and put it on whatever bodies of water I can find to do so between now and whenever the weather stops being clement enough to do it. Because it's just, like I said, that's the word, contemplative. It's just you. Well, obviously, you can do it socially. It's lovely to do it socially. But if you don't want to do it socially, it's not heavy exercise. There's something lovely. You're really in touch with the water and with nature. You're out there. I like to listen to audiobooks and stuff when I'm doing it. I heartily recommend it.
There's a little bit on Sunday when there was a bend of the river where there was no one else on the river but me. And of course, because I was like sat on a paddleboard, I was very low to the water. And I would not have believed I lived in a major city in the UK. It was just like really, really hot. There's a little mist coming from the water because it's, you know, the water's quite warm, and you know, the odd sort of dragonfly flailing around. I felt like bloody Huckleberry Finn, honestly.
Well, I was going to say, Huckleberry Finn is the good way. Once you don't hear dueling banjos coming from the undergrowth or either side of the riverbank, then it's all good.
Squealing like a pig. That's the sort of thing I'm not into.
That's it.
I'm dead against that, Trev, to be honest.
I agree with you. That's shit crack. I would say that is shit crack. When it goes full deliverance, that's just shit crack. Cam, have you ever been in a canoe or a kayak, brother?
No, I haven't actually.
No?
I've been on a banana boat. Does that count?
A banana boat. Is that one of those sort of the novelty things that you get, an inflatable thing that you get?
Yeah. And what the guy did was, this was in Turkey, and he deliberately tipped us off it when we're like a mile off the coast. And I can swim. I say that term very loosely, but obviously we all had life jackets on. So the pain was trying to get back on the damn thing from the water. So that's as close as I've ever got to being I've been on boats and cruise line ships, but not individual kayaking. I've done a little thing, I've done that little rowboat thing on the River Avon at Stratford-on-Avon.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
And I crashed into someone's boat. Thankfully,
you're going to do that though, I think.
Hang on. You're on the river, Avon, and you're out doing the let's do a little row here and think about the great Shakespeare, and you T-boned someone.
Well, no. A stationary boat. I was trying to get round it, and I just sort of clipped it. I'll say clipped. So thankfully nobody was abroad in the boat, so there you go. Anyway, shall we crack on? There might be a libel suit coming my way.
No, can we just see this through to its bitter end, because I'm curious whether either of you have had a go of a windsurf.
No.
Oh, lads, it's the crack until the wind takes over. And like Kaminder, you're not a very strong swimmer. That was me at 17, where I like umpteen operations on my ears. And as a result, like, I wasn't able to swim until then. And I ended up in the middle of Loch Ennell going, How do I get back? That wasn't good. That was a strange time. Cam, sorry, on with your quotations.
Michael. Yeah, sure. Just quickly on Michael K. Williams. The role he played of Chalky in Broadwalk Empire.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, you know, not quite Omar levels, but as near as could have been, you know, it was just a phenomenal, you know, phenomenal acting from him. He was just a wonderful, wonderful actor. And, you know, it's a sad day. The world of television and movies is suffering a big loss without him now. That's for sure.
There's something else he did as well, which is equally important. He recommended Snoop. He recommended Felicia to David Simon and said, like, you
know, sound a fact. Yeah.
Because she said to him, like, you know, I really want to get involved in TV. And he said, why don't you come and do this? And she did the audition. And I love that. There's a Stephen King quote where he basically says, I think she's the most petrifying woman in TV or film. I think she's the scariest woman I've ever seen.
Wow.
Just because she is.
Well, she is. She's incredibly intense. That's amazing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
My little Michael K. Williams fact that I didn't know, because I had no idea. I just assumed he was an actor, always had been an actor, was actually started off as a dancer. He danced with an awful lot of really well-known people, like in music videos and stuff like that. I didn't realize that. Anyway, I've diverted you again, Cam. Sorry, you were That's going right. to your quotes.
Yeah, my quote. Here we go. I am obsessive about attack. When I watch videos, it's for attacking, not for defending. My football, by definition, is very simple. We run all the time. I know that it's easier to defend than to create. To run, for example, is a decision of the will. To create, you need an indispensable amount of talent.
Huh. I'm going to go out on a limb because it is the week it is, and I'm going to guess, although it doesn't sound like him at all, but I'm going to guess, Carl, you can tell me if I'm miles off beam here. I'm going to guess that that's Bielsa.
Because every quote you've done this season is about the manager who we're playing in the end of the week as well.
Oh, has it been? You're right. Yeah. Maybe that's why I knew what to guess. Am I right?
I quite like Guy Drinkle's suggestion.
Which was?
Roy Hodgson.
Oh, yeah, of course. It sounds just like Roy. Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah.
No, it was.
He's in the plot, aren't they? They really are.
They're very similar styles employed. So, it was Mr. Bielsa. So, you know, I think as a manager, his philosophy on football is wonderful. And I just think it's a shame that other managers don't have the courage to entertain the football fans the way Marco Bielsa wants to. And, you know, I think this weekend's game it just could be an absolute cracker, a real cracker.
The ones last year were very, very interesting, primarily for those reasons. And I do want to get to Leeds. I want to, because I think, Carl, you might be at that one, are you?
Yeah, I am.
So I do want to talk about Leeds, but I can't let this go past because we said we'd kind of wing this show. And in the spirit of winging it, I've just seen a tweet come up here, which is a petition to get Dream Team on Netflix. And I've got a quick question for you. Do you remember Dream Team? And did you watch it? Like, I know in the heady days of Ted Lasso, where, I mean, it's a lovely show. Ted Lasso is just a lovely show. Brilliant. Like, it's funny, but it's also very sweet. You know, it's a nice, it hits those sort of buttons where you're like, oh, that's both enjoyable and cute and sweet and funny. It tends not to be mawkish or sentimental. It's a good mixture. Hats off to Ted Lasso is what I'm saying. However, my Apple free subscription ran out in the middle of episode 2 of season 2. And therefore, that's where I've gotten up as far as, and I refuse to get yet another subscription to another major corporation. I'm giving my subscriptions, by the way, in case you think I'm being stingy, I'm giving my subscriptions to smaller media, independently owned things, podcasts and the like, and networks and the like, just so people are aware that that is an option that you can do. You don't have to give these big companies your money. But what about Dream Team, lads? tell me a little bit about your memories. What I loved about Dream Team was it was kind of hysterical, and I mean that in all senses of the word. You know, occasionally it was very funny unintentionally, but it was always over the top hysteria emotion wise. And I have to say, lads, when it came out first, Carl, I'll go to you on this. I mean, I was addicted to it. Maybe it was just because there was something resembling footy on telly that was in fiction form.
Is this the same one where Didier Baptiste played?
It is, I think. Yeah, Didier Baptiste.
I mean, I didn't watch it, but the only thing I can remember from it is that someone went to the press and said that Liverpool are very keen to buy Didier Baptiste, and they ran it as a story, not knowing that Didier Baptiste
was being used. Fantastic! Yeah, that's brilliant.
True story.
I'm looking at a still here from one of the later series, I believe, and in it, her who plays the factory, or used to be the factory owner, that really attractive dark haired girl woman from Coronation Street. Christ, I think she had some sort of, did she have alcohol issue? I'm not sure. She was in it as like owner or whatever. And Anfield Index adjacent Mark Morahan was in it as the manager. He was in a season. But I think you're talking about the later days here, the early days of it. It was outstanding and like outrageous. Cam, did you ever watch that show?
Was it Harchester United or something?
Harchester United. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Harchester United. I mean, I think I may have watched an episode or two. I never quite got into it. I can't remember anything about it, but just Harchester. I can't remember. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm looking online now. I just don't. The only person I vaguely remember here, looking at the cast, is the dark-haired lass. But I don't know.
The dark-haired lass.
Was she like the chairwoman or something? I don't know.
This is who I'm talking about. This is it's terrible. I can't think of the girl's name.
Look it up, you lazy sons.
She's it's her from Coronation Street,
Alison,
right?
King.
Alison King, yeah, that's her. She's very lovely. There was a character called Fletch who was the star of it. Sort of Frank Lampard looking lad. Didier Baptiste, of course, and then there was a couple of other assorted odds and ends. It was just a moment in time. I think you're talking about early 2000s. I did enjoy it at the time because it was so daft. But we should actually talk about real football, perhaps. And Cam, you've introduced us to the topic of Leeds, and we might as well go across to Jon Kopech, who's going to the Leeds game. You know what, man? We had a lovely chat the last day about the nuts and bolts, Cam, with his, you know, unnecessary difficulties in getting into the ground. We talked to yourself about being in the ground and going early and all those traditions and all the rest of it, and the unfortunate lack of choice when it comes to your in-ground pint. But what does this trip look like for you?
Tricky, because I live in Norwich and my mate's leaving from London. So that's to be decided. It's M1 all the way. So it's quite handy for me. I'm also going with my oldest mate, hello Chi, if you're listening. He moved to Leeds in 1987, so we haven't been to a game together since about November 86, when we were both 18 years old.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah. So that's going to be really, really nice. I'm looking forward to that. And I've never been to Elland Road. It's one of the few I've not been to. And I've never even seen Leeds at Anfield. That's just happened that way. And it's really weird. We're talking about this, me and my mates. My mate said to me the other day, said, I've never been to Watford. Watford's really easy to get to from where he lives. It just happens. Sometimes if you go to the match, if you're lucky enough to go to the game quite regularly, sometimes there's grounds which you just don't go to. I've never been to Ewood Park. And every time I tell people that, they go, well, the allocation's like 8 billion. How can you not go to Ewood Park?
Yeah, have you missed that? Yeah.
Never been to Elland Road. So this is a first for me. To be honest, I'm going to enjoy the football. I'm going mostly to be with my mates because that's what I've decided my football's going to be from now on. I'm tired, Trev. I'm very, very tired of the ephemera that surrounds this club like a swarm of wasps. I'm sick of it. I'm just going to watch the footy and enjoy it with my mates. and leave everyone else to have a big argument and big fight about it. Because I love watching Liverpool play. I love watching Liverpool doing really well. And that's all I want.
Yeah. Cam, it's an interesting point that Carl brings up there. You could be forgiven, couldn't you, for thinking that the season was already in the bin and that everything is shit, as opposed to the fact that we have some glorious footballers, the best manager we've had since Shankly, and nothing but optimism should be abounding, theoretically. Now, Cam, I know you're like me. You can acknowledge that there are some things that you really prefer were different.
Yeah.
Some things that you really would like to have happened. And we're not talking here around necessarily bigger club issues around ownership and that kind of thing. We're talking about, you know, personnel. But at the same time, that's a good point Carl makes, isn't it? I mean, to lean into the joy of it, especially in a time that's as shit as this. I mean, you turn on your news, it's endless double talk and sycophantic bullshit from people talking to politicians who really don't deserve to breathe air, some of them. And it's endless. It's endless negativity and darkness. Yeah. Since the beginning of COVID, there's been nothing but negativity and darkness. Football is a source of joy. And now we've got the full grounds back. Carl and yourself can go to these games. It's got to be, we've got to lean into the joy of it, surely.
Go back a year, 18 months. We couldn't go to a game. We didn't have that privilege. The football was soulless. It was void. It was a big, huge void. Even though it was being played, there was nothing really enjoyable about it. We're now back to a stage where we can just go to a football match and we can breathe it and we can feel it and we can live it and we can embrace it. And then you have morons on social media who haven't got a fucking clue about the real world, I think. I mean, I forgot to say this last week. I was stood around football fans for 90 minutes outside the ground and we're all talking. We're all talking. I was then stood inside of, we were sat inside in the main grandstand for 90 minutes of the game and then 15 minutes of half time. And guess what? Not one person spoke about the owners. Not one person spoke about transfers. All we spoke about was, how do you think we're going to do today, lads? How do you think we're going to do today, ladies? What do you think the score's going to be? What do you think the lineup's going to be? Who would you play? No drama about the bullshit of what's going on the political side of the club, for want of a better phrase and wording there. It's just annoying. Enjoy the football, people. Seriously, you will feel better for it. Honestly, you really will, because that's what we all love. That's the common denominator. We love watching Liverpool Football Club play football and winning games and scoring goals and goal line clearances and crunching tackles and everything else that goes with it. You know, it's why do people have to be so negative? Seriously. If you're going to be negative, I mean, I may have said this last week. I don't know if I said it to somebody. Just fuck off. And when you get there, fuck off again. It's simple. Nobody needs negativity. If you've got something to say, please say it, but be constructive. Come up with a rationale. Come up with reasoning. Come up with solutions.
Yeah, it's that last one, isn't it, Cam? Yeah. It's the hand-wringing, something must be done kind of attitude. Yeah.
What's the answers? Give us the answers. Start a GoFundMe page, maybe. You know, it's honestly, there's many billionaires in the world now, apparently. Yeah. Oh, are they all knocking on the door of Liverpool Football Club wanting to buy? These owners are not going anywhere for a couple of years. They've just started the Anfield Road expansion. Yeah. They're invested in that now. They're not going to sell up until that is done, because that's only going to add value to the club. They're investors. They are money people. They're hedge fund guys, whatever they are. Yeah, they have an endpoint where they see, right, we know that this is the time for us to get out. The problem is, the longer they leave it as well, the harder it's going to be to sell. Because you're limiting the options of who can buy it.
Well, you see, that's it. And that's why that leads to what you just said there being very much an opinion, as opposed to, because you could also say they're fattening up the calf. You know, that's another way of looking at it. And what's that?
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
Behind venture capitalism.
Exactly. And right there, that little sort of... that little rumble of reality there in the background from young Kotback. I mean, that's Cam's point about, you know, when you're actually talking to real people, in inverted commas, not, you know, Firmino 1865 top fan on Twitter, you realize that they are just interested in the game. Before the game, they want to talk about what's going to happen. During the game, they want to talk about the game. And after the game, they want to talk about what happened. That's the joy of football. I miss that immensely. Since Anfield Index Pro started, a combination of health and family and things like that have meant that I've watched every single
kayaking career.
The kayaking career really has eaten away at my opportunities to travel. but it means I've watched every single Liverpool game for 4 years with my laptop beside me, making notes for Raw. And I'm not complaining because I love doing that show. And I feel kind of closer to the match than I ever have in a weird way. But I do miss going to it. And I miss, you know, I'm living vicariously through these two lads and everybody else who gets to go to the game. But you know what? I was really, really struck by something you said there, Cam. You're talking about, you know, real people and having real chats, and people are like these Twitter types are tone deaf. I mean, I mentioned to you just before the mics went live, we've got the whole Naby story going on in the background. We're not going to talk about that because we're not qualified to talk about the geopolitical scenario there. Nobody knows about it. Stop offering opinions, you absolute imbeciles.
I'm just bringing our West African correspondents. Oh, we haven't got one.
Exactly. Yeah. Hang on a second. Hang on a second till we just get him on the line. And like all these people offering these profoundly stupid opinions. And then I swear to God, the minute we saw a picture of Naby on a plane, because all these clubs had literally clubbed together and gotten a big jet and gotten all their stars out of there, all the comments were, oh, great, Naby's back for Leeds, lad. And that kind of stuff. And you're like, okay, there are an awful lot of people who probably also would have benefited from getting on a plane and getting out of whatever troubled situation is there. Tone deaf. You know what I mean? Just tone deaf. So I think your resolution, Carl, to not engage with that is a very wise one. I think more people should do it. I know I can't remember last time I was in a Twitter beef, if ever. It's years. It's just really bad for you. Whereas Cam, I don't know, have you gotten involved in a couple of things like that of late?
I got involved. I just did a.
Who wrote it?
We both did, and I just tweeted back at said individual and said, "Well, you know, why don't you just start a GoFundMe?" And I, you know,
you called you a turbo cunt.
Well, that is the best type. That is universally renowned as the finest type.
I'll tell you one Twitter beef I got into.
Let me cut across here. After that little spiel that I just gave there, you waited, you let me say all of that, and then you both chip in and go, yeah, well, actually, we've both been at it lately.
No. Well, it was the same tweet we were both involved in.
It was
FSG out. It was about the last part, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was FSG out to all three of us, and Carl responded, and I saw it. So I thought, well, I'll say my 2p piece as well. You know, I'll give it my tuppence.
My response was two words.
Yeah.
It was a tweet about our last pod.
Yeah.
Why didn't I see this? I must have muted it.
Yeah, so I just responded, and the tweet was FSG out. And then Carl said something, and Carl then called this person or bot or whatever they are, android, robot, whatever, called them a prick, and then they said something else, so Carl told him to fuck off. So in the middle of that, I just said, well, if you want FSG out, then start a GoFundMe, and buy them. Buy the club. Do it. Don't just say FSG out. Offer a solution. This is my point. Offer a solution. I mean, I had one Twitter spat with someone once. It was after we'd won the league, and the fans all turned up at Anfield, and some Punjabi guys turned up. I say Punjabi, I'm just using that term loosely, and they were playing the dhol. I don't know if you know what the dhol is. It's like a drum instrument that you have.
Yeah,
you it's in front of you and you're just banging it from either side, and it's a very distinctive sound. And so they're playing the dhol and they're making a noise, and I just retweeted or quote tweeted the video, or I downloaded the video somehow and just posted the video, and I said the dhol has arrived at Anfield, and somebody had a go at me for posting it, saying you're advocating death. Because we're in the middle of, you know, this was at the start of the pandemic, you know, it was obviously May, June time, and, you know, people are dying, and here you are encouraging people to go to Anfield. And I'm like, it wasn't my video. That doesn't matter. You're just trying to kill people. I'm like, seriously, I'm just sharing a video. If you genuinely think that I'm trying to kill someone from posting a video online, that of something that has already happened the night before, then I'm sorry, I can't help you. I really can't help you.
Yeah,
and in the end, I just had to block the person, you know, because it was they were just getting abusive. And I just thought, there's only so far you can go down that rabbit hole with people. So generally, I don't engage. I just laugh it off. And that's just me. That's the way I try to deal with anything. At the end of the day, I'm not paid any money to get stressed or worried about what twats say about me on Twitter. Say what you like. Yeah. I really don't care. I mean, I'm an arse. I really am. I say that to people. I am an arse. If you rub me up the wrong way, I will be a proper arse. But I'm not going to let people online rub me up the wrong way, because who are they? They're not my mates. My mates would say it to my face. You guys would, if you felt I was saying something wrong, you would say it to my face. Say, Cam, that's out of order. You know, there's a difference. These people, they don't mean anything to us.
Enjoying this podcast? Then why not supercharge your support for the Reds with Anfield Index Pro? With around 30 premium podcasts every month, AI Pro offers the very best reviews, reaction and debate on all things LFC. From the acclaimed statistics and deep dive analytics found in our Under Pressure podcast, to the transfer links, scouting reports and fast live reaction shows we record after every match, AI Pro is home to our very best content. With regular appearances by Reds legends like Jan Molby and Sir Kenny Dalglish, plus insight from journalists, sports scientists, coaches and psychologists, we'll help bring you closer to the club you love. There's never been a better time to take AI Pro for a test drive. Available on all popular podcast platforms, with free apps for iOS and Android. You can try it absolutely free with no strings attached. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com to start your 7-day free trial now.
Yeah, listen, you're preaching to the choir here, or is that the way it goes? Preaching to the choir?
That's it.
I completely agree, and as we said earlier on, again before the mics went live, I was seriously contemplating, you know, and I have been for quite some time, and I'm in a similar bind to Carl in that, you know, there's a side project going on here that you like to get as much eyes on as possible, so you want to keep that slightly bigger account, but honest to God, it's becoming less and less appealing to do that, because you're just exposed to more and more, and even if it's not the people themselves who you follow, they're retweeting stuff that's just hellishly annoying. And an awful lot of that, especially an awful lot of that sort of two-faced nonsense, I'm seeing all these, you know, so-called kindness and light people quite often who talk about mental health and the like on a regular basis, and preach kindness and talk about their lefty principles, and next thing you know, they're spitting absolute bile in a vacuum without any information, and that type of thing just drives me insane. It's as bad, every bit as bad as the opposite of that, which we can all agree is pretty repellent. And actually, we did have one hanger on to the pod in the in the not so distant past, who was, let's say, quite heavily right leaning and used to take issue with us on a regular basis. God bless him and his little cotton socks.
Yeah,
I wonder what he's doing out there.
Let's just say those cotton socks will be white.
100%.
1,000%.
You won't be wearing Nike.
There will be no colors except white on those socks.
And I wonder if there's a window in that basement.
Yeah. And his knees are remarkably unscuffed.
Yes. Well, hopefully he's having a fine time and he's
Well, this is my issue, Trev, with the whole thing. This is just where I am today more than anything else. Imagine a world, if you will, where football clubs don't do transfers. They can only do their own intake from their own academies and there's no transfer thing going on whatsoever. And you're just lucky. I mean, Newcastle do very well because their academies are very good and some of their best players haven't played for Newcastle, for example, or so very briefly before they were sent off somewhere else. Would any of these people moaning on about the owners? And I've got some beef with the owners. I don't like the owners. And no matter how often I say that in articles, I get called that I'm protecting the column I write because I want access, all that stuff.
You just want the access. That's Carl. Yeah. Everybody knows.
I'm all over them. Yeah. I'm in Anfield now.
You're in. No, I thought you were in. Is it Melwood now? It's not Melwood, isn't it? It's Kirkby now, isn't it?
Kirkby, yeah.
I thought you were in Klopp's office.
Yeah,
you said you were in Klopp's office earlier.
Yeah. I'm under the desk getting top access.
Your knees are scuffed, aren't they?
Let's leave that there, shall we? If you can imagine a world where that doesn't exist and therefore the owners are largely redundant and no one knows their names, are these people supporting Liverpool? Yes, they are supporting Liverpool, but I don't think they're supporting the same Liverpool that I support. And I think that's the key difference for me. I'm all about going to the match, as I said before, going to the match with my mates, enjoying my mates, doing this, etc. I think an awful lot of people just want to be seen to be buying massive players. And I don't really think they're that bothered about the team. I really don't. I think a lot of it's sort of, but, Leeds spent more than we did, and that's embarrassing. Why is that embarrassing?
Yeah.
Embarrassing the best in the top four.
You've got to understand, we live in a world now where a huge amount of fans are going to migrate, believe it or not, to all clubs, of all clubs, Man United, because of Ronaldo signing for them. These weirdos, and quite often they're young lads, and quite often lads as well, they support the player. Imagine that. They support a player. So this is the world you live in now. So obviously that means there are going to be all sorts of varieties of people who say they support a club. And I often used to use the expression, lads, when I'd be writing, it bothers me that some of these people stand under the same banner as me. As if we were some sort of united, to use Cam's word from earlier on, political entity. We are not. The Liverpool fan base are not a united political entity at all, in any way, shape, or form. It's a massive, massive group of humans, and you have to bear that in mind. And I think what you're talking about, Carl, is, and Cam, you're perpetually let down when you see these awful takes and this absolute lack of connection to what anything to do with the club is about. From these people, and you just realize, well, actually, there's this massive spectrum of fans now, and maybe some of the most awful are some of the loudest. Would that be fair, Carl, you think?
Yeah, I was told today, because again, someone who read the headline, not read the actual column, I wrote that if I want a level playing area, I should go and support grassroots football.
Oh God!
Well, here's the thing: fuck off. I want to support, thank you. And I don't like fan hierarchy, and I've never done it, but I've got it. I'm going to guess here, I'm going to go out on the limb, that I know a lot more about this fucking club than you do and what it is to support to be a regular match goer. And again, I'm not saying that I'm incredibly lucky that I get tickets. I know that, and I would never ever say to someone, you're no good because you don't go. It doesn't work like that.
No.
But if you don't like it, you should go and support this. How about, I say it too often, and I know you support yours, I'll support mine, and mine has got fucking nothing to do with yours. I mean, literally fucking nothing. I support the lads on the pitch, and the lad who really should be wearing specs now, and it's freaking me out slightly.
Oh, thank God. I mean,
I've been tired.
Yeah, I get that. I get the fact you earlier on, you said it perfectly, and it reminded me of that poor chap on Arsenal fan TV saying I'm tired, Robbie. That's exactly it. I get it. I get where both of you are coming from. Because I feel it myself. And I think it's about managing your expectations around things like Twitter. If you're going to be on there, you just have to kind of, like I say, manage your expectations. And my only tip around this is not to get involved in any of those things at all, even if you think you'd like to snap back at someone. I can't tell you the amount of times some weirdo had popped up when I used to write my column and said something either awful about me or the piece or something like that. Yeah, many times that happened. It happened enough times that you could count them on the fingers of two hands. But each of those times, I had composed three or four wordy tweets, absolutely slamming said idiot into the middle of next week in a way that was both verbose and vicious. And then I thought, just delete the tweet, Trev, and just block and move on. Because what can possibly be gained from involving yourself in that? And I think there's a lesson there. I genuinely don't.
Also, when you block someone, do you feel like a mafia hitman?
I mean, it's close, right?
I do. I've killed them. I've never going to hear from them again. They're dead.
You know what you've done? You've silenced them.
Yeah.
That's nice.
No, you cancelled them.
Oh, you cancel them, yeah.
Oh, God, don't get it. Let's not go down to Kyle, for fuck's sake.
Oh, I want to go there.
All right. Trev, I'm sure you agree that Jeremy Kyle was cancelled because of there is a left-wing cancelling culture which to keep good Brexit voters out of office.
What was his complaint about? What happened? I was aware that Jeremy Kyle, who, by the way, if you're listening to this, you're not sure who this is, and I'm sure for our American listeners, I know there's a few of you, he is a sort of daytime, he's basically like the English Jerry Springer, will that be fair?
Yeah, so basically, he used to run a sort of very early morning TV program where he would bring people who were desperate for fame, and shall we say, not the brightest people in the world.
Or just money, just to check, harangue
them about their personal life. So it's a lot of Jerry Springer, you know. I accidentally slept with my best mate's mother.
You know what?
My daughter's pregnant. It's one of those sort of things, you know.
But he's far more odious. He's actually more odious than Springer in that you're right. He used to harangue them. So he'd get this lad who admits to having fathered children with all the women in his family or something.
And
then he'll just go and point the finger in this lad's face and shout at him and get red faced and harangue him and berate him and tell him what a terrible man he is. And said imbecile will listen and throw an odd comment back. And then there'll be a fight.
And they get sued by the world.
Yeah.
And what happened? Someone did that show and killed themselves. And that show was cancelled because of that. And now he's saying, yes, but I've been cruelly used. Tell that to his name was Stuart, the lad who died. Tell yourself that. You're not cancelled, mate. You're a fucking appalling human being, and we can do without you in your show. But of course, he's gone to talk radio. So
hang on. When he's talking about being cancelled, that's actually what he's getting at. His show was cancelled.
He's being cancelled in the cancel culture, yeah, as well.
Okay.
It's not his fault. It's just he didn't.
He definitely didn't push all the buttons and cause lots of people fucking discomfort in an exploitative way at all.
It's basically poverty porn.
It is. It's the grimmest.
It's, in inverted commas, laughing at chavs, that program.
Yeah, it's the grimmest of TV shows. Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
The great thing here, though, is unfortunately, in all of this, he's claiming he's been cancelled, but he had a platform to say that he's been cancelled.
Yeah.
So he's now got a radio show off of being cancelled. It's almost like, and he's saying he's now free to engage in honest and open debate, and you know it's okay for him to be wrong in his opinions because the listener can phone in and say, actually you're wrong about this, Jeremy. He's trying to make out now he's some kind of savior of radio and opinion and debate. Yeah, he's been cancelled. So how have you got a show? How have you allowed us to know that you now have a show upcoming?
Well, if there's one thing we know, Cam, from recent times in your country, in America, and in my country, where we had the unholy union of two absolutely, we hate each other, diametrically opposed parties. Oh, it turns out they are equally centrist, and they joined for the first time ever, and now we have a shit show in our country. If there's one thing we know, is that there are an awful lot of awful people with terrible takes,
yep,
who will probably give him an audience and make sure his show is successful, no doubt.
But the last name is Steve Diamond, by the way.
He kept calling him a serial liar or something, and then unfortunately this individual person, Steve, sorry, I should use his name, I apologise, he committed suicide, and they reckon being called a serial liar continually on TV may have contributed to...
Well, you see, there's the thing again about being tone deaf. I mean, there's no way in which you can... It's overly righteous to turn around and say, well, you did that, pal. But for him to be coming out and talking the way he's talking means he doesn't even have the self-awareness to accept anything around his potential responsibility for how that kid might have been feeling. And that tells you all you need to know about a chap like that.
I mean, I saw the video because it was all over social media, and he slouched in his chair as he's speaking, as if he didn't have a care in the world. Honestly, you know, these guys have got more money than sense sometimes, and I'm sure at one point he was a nice person, you know, and the monster in him has been pulled out due to the show he did.
Yeah.
But somebody needs to grab hold of him, slap him 50,000 times. Yeah. And say, shut the fuck up. Yeah. Stop. Go back 20 years and think you were a better person then, maybe.
Instead, what's happened is he's been given a new place to carry on his shtick, you know.
They should just call it the cancelled show, shouldn't they?
Just call it the cancelled show with Jeremy Kyle, yeah. And it will be listened to in the millions, no doubt, sickeningly enough. We have gone down a dark alleyway here, and I want to just bring it back briefly to football for 1 second, because I realise that we have 3 games in a week. Now, we will do a show again next week before the third of those games. But it's not just Leeds, lads, because football's back, and football's back with an absolute bang. Because after we return against Leeds on Sunday... Yeah.
I'm going to have to stop you. I really need to tell you a little funny story to take us away from this dark mood. I've got a funny story to tell about something that happened this weekend
with do me. It
yeah is that right
yeah.
yeah yeah cool all right so on the weekend I met for the first time my potential future son-in-law. We just met in a cafe, sat down, had a drink, soft drink, obviously, and I just asked him, you know, got to know him a little bit, you know, why my daughter as such, and
Hang on.
What did he say to my daughter?
Wait. An awful lot of us have been in this situation when we have children.
Well, I don't know how to approach it, so...
No, but tell me you didn't say, so, why my daughter...
Pretty much.
Dude.
Don't fuck about it, you know me. So, you know, you came out with this spiel. He was sort of prepared, like, you know, I'm sure my daughter Erin had given him a sort of heads up about what I was going to ask him. So, you know, he told me about what his dreams and aspirations are, and it came across well. And I said, all right, enough of all that. Now let's get to this fucking serious stuff. And I did swear. I said, why the fuck is a lad from Warsaw spotting Manchester fucking City. And he's like,
well, you've got him there, to be fair.
Yeah, he's like, and I said, you're a fucking glory hunter, aren't you? And he was like, and he pretty much said what you just said there. You've got me there.
I can't believe it. You're so harsh on the poor kid. You know he was probably bricking it, mate.
He was. He was absolutely bricking it. He's been telling my daughter for weeks, I'm fucking scared of meeting your dad. I'm fucking scared of meeting your dad. He's going to fucking rip me a new one. I don't know how I'm going to handle it.
And for listeners who don't know, Cam at the moment is sporting quite an impressive beard, which would add to the intimidation factor, no doubt about it. And if I know Brenchy, he probably stuck on a pair of tinted glasses and a hat just so he'd be even scarier.
No. I wish I had now. I should have spoken to you guys before and gone in like different dress codes for different scenarios, trying to figure out which would be the worst one to intimidate him even more.
Carl, have you been on the end of that conversation, the other end of that conversation, where you've been sort of you've been the one being vetted? Have you ever had anything similar to that experience?
I do parents quite well, actually.
I've
always been, because I suppose I'm sort of reliably, well, dull. Yeah. What do you like doing? Do you know what, I really like tea. I like drinking tea a lot and watching telly.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had the odd sort of, oh, right, you're a football hooligan, are you? I have had that conversation before. Not really, I'd say. I mean, the idea, to be honest, if I was in the same situation as the lad involved, I'd be interviewing Brainchy, you know, and say, asking where his credentials were than the other way around there.
Yeah. Good luck, lad. Good luck.
Yeah, it'd be like sort of like, so what are your... what are your intentions towards my daughter? Fuck that. Can we just go to the fucking muesli in the blender thing a second before we start?
You see, there we go. If we had known, we could furnish that lad with enough stuff.
Yeah. Follow us. We've got the lot here.
No more intimidation when it comes to Brainchy, lad. We've got you. Just if you're listening to this show,
you didn't even know I did a podcast. There you go. So,
You know, man,
you must have done that, Trev, haven't you? Surely.
I've done which did.
But you've got a daughter, haven't you? You must have brought.
You mean done the Stern father?
The father.
I have done the Stern father chat, but I was actually reminded of a couple of times where I was in the same boat as this poor Man City glory hunter that Cam was grilling. The worst one by a mile was I was brought, we need to go back, the kid that you were just speaking about, when that kid was still in the belly of the mammy in question, we went off. Now, bear in mind, it's still Ireland, in the very late 90s, we went off to visit the estranged father who was, oh wow, he did the whole intimidating thing quite well. He sort of sat on the edge of the table in the pub where he was the landlord, and he didn't deign to speak to us, and then he went off and walked around and ordered a few people around, and he sat down the edge of the table again, and he did the whole sort of talking to me from the profile. You know, it was proper intimidating stuff. Needless to say, lads, you know me well enough at this stage. You can just imagine how I reacted and how intimidated I got by that. And he seemed to enjoy me being a bit spiky back at him.
Yeah.
And he seemed to understand that language better than I could have hoped. So that went quite well.
I was introduced, not the same thing. I was introduced to one of my best mates. We went to stay with his family down in Devon once, and they're from they're Lancastrians, his family. And so I met his uncle. I was going to say his name, but I better not. And so this is my mate Carl. You know, he's from Liverpool, and the boat just went, oh, don't like Scousers.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't like Scousers. And I thought, I either say fuck you or I walk out. And I went for walking out. I thought, I'm not going to fucking argue with you.
And did you?
Yeah, it's fine. Okay.
And you see, I know some people, right? This is really interesting you say that, because I got exactly that comment about, I fucking hate Meath men. And I was being introduced to a gang of Dubliners, and I got this, and I fucking hate Meath men. They're only rats or something like that. And he was clearly trying to test me, and this is all part of his confrontational persona. And here's the thing, dude, you either buy into that and you want to play along with them and you give them the I don't know, it's giving them a little bit of credit, isn't it, to stay in the room with them. I actually like your angle better. Fuck that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off. Yeah, fine. I do like that, I have to say. We are approaching the hour, so we should start wrapping things up. I want to give
Where were you going before I cut you up?
I want to give a very, very brief reference back to the football, which was, it's not just Leeds on Sunday. We've got AC Milan on Wednesday. We've got Crystal Palace on Saturday. We've got Norwich on Tuesday. We've got Brentford the following Saturday. And then we've got Porto the following Tuesday. This is bananas. And after that Tuesday, on the Sunday, on the 3rd of October, we have Manchester City. This is a run of fixtures, which, I mean, it's not too over the top to say is going to be absolutely essential in shaping the season. So if you can't get excited about that, was my point. I don't know what to say to you. I mean, AC Milan at home. I don't care whether the AC Milan of old or not. It's tremendous.
It's never happened. We only ever played them in European Cup finals.
This is tremendous. And as I said on a previous pod, now we get to see Liverpool playing the San Siro.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. End of story. So
we haven't done since Inter.
Torres scored the winner.
Yeah, there are all these wonderful occasions coming up, looming. Big, big occasions. Loads of big European nights. Between now, which is, what the hell day is it? It's 7th of September, I think, today. The 7th of September and the 19th of October. So that's no more than, what, about three. In less than 6 weeks, we get to play AC Milan, Porto, and Atletico Madrid. We also get to play City in the Premier League. We're playing Leeds next week, and we've got lots of other games like Palace, Norwich, Brentford, which are not exactly gimmies. Watford's in there as well in that section. This is what it's all about.
Trev, what about net spend? I mean, if you take
exactly. This is brilliant. Thank you for saying that, because that's exactly where in the name of all that's holy, in the name of your chosen deity, is the point in going there when you've got all of that to talk about, all that good stuff to talk about.
You're going to have it with the owner, support the lads on the pitch, and end it there. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, 100%. And let's talk about the games, and let's talk about the by the way, it's a kind of sickness. It's clearly a kind of sickness, because literally the day after the transfer window closed and people were getting all the FSG out of their system, the day after that, so 2 days after the window closed, there were endless stories about Liverpool are being linked with X, Y, or Z. And I was like, oh, fuck off. Seriously.
Madness.
Ridiculous. About it. You were going somewhere, Cam. I cut across you.
No. Sorry. I was just going to say, I know it's going back to something Carl said about, it's just little points about the owners. Some people don't like the owners. Some people love the owners. Some people are in between. I'm in that gap between in between and like them. Because I like what they've done for the club as a whole, in the stability they brought as a football club. And I think to a point they get an unfair shout for, you know, and they've made mistakes, but they've been big enough to hold their hands up and say, yeah, we fucked up. I know it's easy saying you shouldn't make the mistakes, but other clubs, I'm sure their fan base will say that their owners make mistakes, but are their owners big enough to come out and say, yeah, we've made a mistake? I think that's quite good of our owners, that they do actually listen to us as fans if we do kick up a fuss to a point. And that's, I think, is something that to a point should be applauded. And I think they generally get an unfair shake, the owners, because they have a model and we've known that model. We don't like that model. We want Mbappe. We want Neymar. We want whoever. Not even Neymar, actually. But, you know, and it's like we want to pay Mo Salah. We haven't even talked about Mo Salah apparently wanting £500,000 a week.
Well, the bollocks. It's from the mirror. The bloke's a complete liar.
Yeah, well.
You're a load of bollocks.
I know that. You know that. But yeah. It's FSG's fault that he's not going to get £500,000 a week now.
And the point is, it sparked endless rounds of shit talk and articles and non-articles and pieces. So
people get dragged into this rabbit hole for no reason.
Yeah.
Well, can I make 2 points on this?
Do it.
Firstly, FSG out. I don't mind it as an organisation or a thing because people are angry. I think you're looking at the wrong thing. But it's not FSG out. So the fact that there's pricks on running football clubs is the issue. And you're never going to be happy that way. But I'd like to say, where were all you pricks when John Henry was treated Kenny like shit? Didn't read any of that stuff at all. So you're not interested in net spend. You're not interested in how they treated the greatest footballer in our history. I'm appalled. I don't like FSG because of that. And that was 9 years ago. And I don't care if Kenny sat on the board at them or not. And he's forgiven them. I fucking haven't. They can fuck off because of that. And secondly, at the beginning of the second half of the Chelsea game, I turned to my brother-in-law and said, do you know what? I made up they're taking and Kante off. Made up. The lad in front of me turned around and said, me too, mate. I'm really pleased you said that. Well said. And we had a chat about football. That's football. That's Liverpool football.
That's football, yeah. That's what makes it beautiful.
No, they're never going to see the lad again. We had a nice five-minute chat. Patted each other on the back. Went on and called.
Also, as we've often spoken about, and again, hopefully soon to return in an era where it's okay to be around humans and have physical contact, you know, actual life. No, you're not, pal. I'll tell you why you're not. Because one of the best stories you've ever told on this podcast is how you were sort of, let's just say, manipulated around the cop after the celebration of a goal. And I had a similar story.
Oh, Juve and the Cumberland, yeah.
Yeah. And we've all exchanged stories about some very, very happy Polish, Norwegian, Danish lad beside you. Yeah. He's probably had a few and he's very excited and he wants to hug you. And so you have a big happy hug and it's great because Liverpool are winning, Liverpool have scored. And again, if there's anything that this show has been about today, it's that. It's like, look for the good stuff, look for the essence. And I would, on a not negative note, but just to echo something Carl said, I wrote a piece after that incident where Kenny was his contract was terminated with FSG. It was mutual, etc. Bullshit. I was fucking furious. That's my hero. That's for me the ultimate Liverpool personage that will ever be. Just for me. Other people have their own opinions. And you don't do that. You don't do that. And again, I'd agree, like Carl, things can move on. Kenny's a very affable man. And he's chosen to embrace whatever sort of remedies they've made around that. That sticks in my craw still. I think it's a really, really good point. We should start wrapping it up. Can I just say before we do, and I go to you both for your finish ups, if you do have them. I'm not sure if you do, but can I just say that I have discovered banana Weetabix and I need everybody to know that it is a wonderful thing because I love Weetabix and the story, but it's got that really nice banana twang off it as well. It's fucking glorious is what it is. And this has been brought to you by Weetabix. I wish. I fucking wish we had some of that absolutely sweet Weetabix wedge coming our way. We don't. But I had
Nestle, they're good, aren't they? Lovely lads.
Yeah, I love chocolate Weetabix. They're genuinely good.
Well, amazing. I was talking about these banana Weetabix ages ago because I bought them and I only broke into them tonight and it was fucking spirit shocking. So I just said I'd have to share that.
Can I just say this, Trev?
Yes, dude.
Rawlins are the best place for chocolate oranges. Thank you. That's what's just happened here on live on this podcast. It's a little nod he gives when he says it, a sort of, I know how bad that sounds, but I just got to say it.
I don't care. I'm excited. I'm in the moment. I want to share with the people who I love. That's all the listeners. I'm actually reasonably fond of you too as well. Of course, I'm Guy. Now, Carl, have you got something to finish out with? I think you said you might have. If you do, go ahead with it.
Not what I was going to say. I don't know if anyone here follows the journalist Chris Williams. Chris is a journalist for BT Sport and freelance of quite a few people. And he works in Germany. And it's one of these people, I don't know him, but I know him sort of thing. We have the odd chat online and that sort of thing. He was at a game at the weekend between Boston, I think it was on the 21s, and West Bridgeford Colts, where sadly a lad had suffered a cardiac arrest, a lad called Dylan Rich, and he passed away a couple of days later. I'm only going to say this just because it's a work thing as much, but it's not just a work thing because it affects me personally. If you belong to a football club or you train in a facility that doesn't have a defib, can you please talk to someone about getting some funding for it? Because it's happening too often. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. Very well said. And the fact that it's grounded in a fairly tragic recent example is just underlines it really well. Yeah, fair play. And thanks for that, Carl. Hopefully people are listening and it might actually spark someone to do exactly something like that. Just take that little bit of action.
Get in touch with me if you need anything if you need any guidance on that as well.
It's easily something you could let run, isn't it, man? And it's about not doing that. Yeah. And getting trained up on one of those things is fairly straightforward, isn't it?
You can learn CPR in half an hour.
You can
start, but DFibs, the latest DFibs talk to you. They tell you what to do.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really simple.
Well, I saw James Bond using it on himself. So I reckon I'm fine. I reckon I'm going to be able to do it when the time comes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is stunning.
Yeah. I know, dude. I know.
You know. Your crates are red, isn't he? Hang on, I've got an advertising campaign coming up.
Yeah, Bonds are red. Bonds are red.
Dear Mr. Craig.
Yeah.
I remember when Mike Parry said that James Bond belongs to the nation and he shouldn't be supporting a football club. And I wrote about that, and you had to read it out on Audible. And I said, I'm going to burn all my Reggie Perrin videos because Leonard Ross is at the actor who plays Rigsby and Rise and Damp is at Blue. So I'm going to burn all my DVDs because Rigsby shouldn't be a Blue.
Oh, I enjoyed that one. Enjoy that one. Yeah, he's reassuringly awful all the time in that sort of way that
you
can laugh at.
Worst thing I can come up with that's even so laughable that no one will think about it.
Oh, that's amazing. Cam, what have you got for us to finish out? Or do you have something, mate?
I do. Might sound familiar, this. I think this is one of the greatest sentences ever written.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Don't make me edit stuff out. It's like work and stuff.
Can you repeat it for the listeners? Because I walked all over the end of that, as did Carl. Go again.
Sorry. One sec. Right. Sorry. Don't make me edit stuff out. It's like work and stuff.
Okay, you should probably fill in the listeners. I'll let you do it rather than me do it. Let's go.
No, I think Carl should do it.
my outro is going to be slightly different about the way I feel about football at the moment and about fans, and I was just going to have the same word repeated all the way through it. And Guy, who spoke those words to us on a WhatsApp group, was absolutely petrified that he may have to do his words, work. One thing, dear listener, also that didn't happen, which I'm going to have to do at some point, is I did have an idea of just dropping in various conspiracy theories throughout the pod just to see if it showed a bit. So I was going to mention the moon, about the fact that on the moon and things like that. And then I was going to go on to Roswell, 9/11 being a government conspiracy, and the fact that the North Tower came down and it looked like a controlled explosion. that sort of thing. But I will be dropping them in every now and then to sort of tease the Downey sensibilities.
Can I just say something on the moon?
Go on,
just two words. A flag.
Right, let's get into this. Now we can't.
Let's not. Also,
there's the bridge grenade, everyone. Last possible second.
Of course, the bridge.
We've got 10 minutes on that.
I would just say that, Carl, look, if you're going to tease me with conspiracy theories, you should actually include a few conspiracy theories as opposed to historical facts on the net. I think that would be good. I am going to get us out of here before I get myself in further bother. I've been Trev Downey. You heard Carl Kopak. You heard Cam Branch. Guy Drinkle's been monitoring in the background and contributing as he always does. I need you to remember, listeners, that the game is out there. And it's either play or get played. And also, listener, I need you to remember, and do remember this, you come at the king, you best not miss. This has been the Anfield Index podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement. And we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.